I did not realize that you had gone to be a registered company now, which is so exciting. I know, I love that for you. So for anyone who hasn't gone through that process before, as a sole trader, you can set up pretty quickly. You just kind of get going. As a company, you've got to register. It's an independent entity. What was the trigger point for you to say, I think I've hit a tipping point? And what were the pros and cons of each situation that pushed you to move?
So there's a couple of reasons, but the main one is my house is full of stuff. And I know that doesn't sound like it makes any correlation to what you just asked, but I'm climbing over crap in my studio to get to my desk. I'm stubbing my toe. I'm hitting my head on stuff. And that proverbially is true in my workflow as well. Like, I have too much stuff to do and I'm dying. So I got to the point where I was like, I need an employee. And I was like, as a sole trader, like, I just need to be an employer. Like, as a sole trader, having employees is a little bit like less specific. And there's like liability issues and all this stuff. And I was just like, I actually think I need a warehouse space to get all this crap out of my house. And I need an employee ASAP. And I hit that wall last year. And then I got to January this year and realized, like, no, I have to set up as a company first. And I had a full scale breakdown because I was like, I need an employee now. I had to slow things down. So I've been setting up as a company, getting that all sorted, just so I can get to the point of having some help and having some more space in my life. And yeah, it felt like having a company and having some separation and also payrolling myself was a great way to kind of get some more structure into my business. And just kind of separate the business from myself a little bit. And have that liability protection so that I can take some risks.
Yeah. The liability issue is a really interesting one where, of course, yeah, the company is its own independent thing. It's liable, not necessarily you, which is very different from the sole trader issue. To be bringing in an employee, to be doing things like warehouse space, you must have hit a certain point of success, which is really exciting. How long did it take you to get there? How many years have you been going now?
I've been in business for 7 years, and I've been selling products most of that time. And that's the main focus of my business. We've been talking a lot about client work, and I still do some of that. But it's always been in the service of building the product-based business, because I'm a brat, and I just want to draw pictures that I want to draw, not for anyone else. And I have lovely clients, and I love drawing for them, and I keep them around because they like the kinds of things I like to draw. So it's all good. But like, that's the main focus for me. And so making that happen was always the goal. And so, yeah, over those 7 years, I've been shifting. Like, I had a big chunk of client work, not very much product. And that kind of percentage has been shifting over time. And as I've gained more success selling through my online store and at in-person events, yeah, I've hit a level of success that terrifies me, and also has empowered me to maybe take a few little risks here and there on some bigger growth things like a warehouse space and an employee.
Well, yeah, speaking of terrifying, the idea of having an employee, I mean, just meant that freaks me out.
I personally don't want children I'm scared of being responsible for another human being. And this feels like a much smaller version of that, where like, I want to be a really good employer. And so I'm just very concerned about getting all of that right before I even take a stab at it. But yeah, it's a big responsibility. So it won't be a full-time employee to start with. It'll probably be casual to part-time, just to see how it is. But ultimately, I think I do kind of need someone around full-time. So we'll see how we go.
I absolutely love that your business has grown enough that you can take that. There's a saying that I'd love to run by you, that 20% of your business will make you about 80% of the money. Is that something that you've found? Is there that balance in terms of some opportunities are just whoppers that you just get them done, they bring in the majority of it, and then the rest of it, you tick along?
To a certain degree. I think that was more true when I started out in terms of bankrolling my retail business with my client work. Yeah, my client work would make me 80% of my income, and then the retail end would probably pay for itself. And so that's been true for a while. And then I think I've gotten a little bit smarter about how I do product-based stuff in terms of profit margin and what I choose to take risks on, product categories that I enter, things like that. And I feel like I think I probably have about 60% of my products are kind of doing really, really well. And the other 40% are like kind of niche and they find their place with people. So it's definitely, I feel like the business in general is pretty evenly making me a decent income. And there are things that occasionally kind of take away from that. But yeah, recently I released a t-shirt that is all of a sudden kind of making that 80-20 adage happen where everyone loves this one t-shirt. So that is kind of making me 80% of my income right now. But it does ebb and flow quite a lot.
Well, speaking of that t-shirt, right, because I saw you post something about this online. I can't remember which social media platform. But A, I find it really interesting how directly you talk to your customers, your clients, using social media, which I think is a fantastic benefit of doing business in the modern era, that you can talk to people pretty directly. It's a downside for some people who can't be trusted with it, but
it's not always a good thing. Yeah. The lack of filter and the lack of distance between me and my audience can sometimes be a little bit dangerous. So it's not always good.
Well, I've seen you handle it really well. If you've had some big boo-boos, I haven't seen them. I think it's really interesting how you talk to people about the realities of your business. And you were laying out, you had mentioned about, you know, the t-shirt, that there was different requests for sizes and that you had to put it out in a certain format because that was the best way for your business. You're a small business. You had to make these decisions. You couldn't have it in every different type of t-shirt, every different style.
Yes.
You know, how do you work through those issues where I'm sure you do get requests for people who would say, I would love this. And you have to turn around and be like, oh, well, I'm glad you would love it, but it doesn't make sense for my business.
Yeah, I try to be really honest with people because I think people have, and I don't necessarily mean this in a bad way, but we all have this kind of have it all attitude where we think we can kind of have everything the way we want it. And I can't have a lot of things the way I would want them in my business. And so when people ask me, like, if I've worked really hard, so like the t-shirt that I just released, I spent about 100 hours drawing that artwork, and it's one of the most complex things I've ever drawn, and I'm really, really proud of it. And it can be kind of crap when I put it out there as best I can with a couple of color options, which is an upgrade. I usually do one t-shirt color, one t-shirt cut, one design, and I did two this time, and I made them kind of special. And then immediately, like, the first comments were like, can you do this? Can you make it this way? Can you do this? Can you put it on a cup? Can you put it on a tea towel? Can you do it the way this way so that my mom will like it? And I'm just like, I love you so much, but I just, you know, I put a lot of thought into this before you even see it. Like, and it's just, it can be frustrating to be like, oh, the people's assumption is that I just didn't think about how they might like it. And it's like, trust me, I did. I agonized over it. And so I try to be really patient. But I think the best way to explain to people the limitations on these things is to explain the processes and how they work and how these decisions get made and why things won't work. And also, yeah, my bottom line, unfortunately, is very delicate. And so I try to be patient, but I also try to be very direct with people and just be like, hey, screen printing costs a lot. It has some limitations on it. This is what they are. This is why I didn't do this. And I love that you love it. Buy it as it is or don't. But, you know, that's, you know, I did think about it a lot.
And it's funny because even, you know, I've followed your work. God, I think I've followed you for a few years now. I would have no idea when I started following you.
Mutuals.
Started on Twitter back in the day. RIP Twitter. I'm still there, but God, it's not what it was.
I come back every so often and I'm like,
oh. Yeah. Oh, this place has gotten even worse. Off we go again. Yeah.
Yeah.
And even then, you know, when you were putting up about, it's very different for me to have this on a t-shirt versus a cup. I had no idea. I had just kind of assumed you could just tick a box on whoever's making it for you and it would be fine. And so that was fascinating to me. And to take that approach of telling your customers, telling your audience, actually, this is why, I thought that was so smart because, of course, nobody ever knows your business as well as you do, right?
No. And also, I think creative processes, and actually, I love the process of manufacturing things. Like, I find it fascinating. So, and I think other people do too, like watching how it's made on YouTube, like one of those things where they make crayons, like I'll watch that all day. Like, that's great. So like kind of explaining to people how things work is I think exciting for everybody. And the other thing is like, I don't run my business like a drop shipper and I don't sell cheap quality products. And that's actually why there are limitations on my business is because I try to be sustainable in several different ways, not just financially, but also ecologically and in terms of supporting local business. And so my shirts are produced to a very high degree of quality using a traditional screen printing process from a company in New Zealand. And if I had them drop shipped from China, from a company that can print a design in 5 seconds on any shirt, yeah, I could absolutely provide everything under the sun for people, but I don't feel like that's the best way to run my business. And I wouldn't feel good about it if I did. So a lot of that is also explaining that to people and why my products cost what they cost and why they are produced to the standard that they're produced and what the consequences of that are, which is maybe fewer options, but the thing you're going to get is going to be really good.
And hopefully from that, it's like what you were saying just then about the longevity, right? The sustainability is if you're prioritizing quality and looking after your customers and making sure, okay, you might not get every option you might want, but the option you're going to get is really good. I mean, I imagine the idea is that you get really repeat customers, right?
I do. And I'm very, very happy about that. And I'm very grateful. It's crazy. Like I have great analytics in Shopify. And whenever someone places an order, I can see how many other orders they've placed in the past. And watching that tick up over the years, I have customers that have placed 30, 40 orders like over time, things like that. It blows my mind. And I'm really appreciative. And I feel like the things that I have done to try to give great customer service and be kind and put a personal touch on things and make good things of good quality has really paid off. And I think that's really worth it. Yeah, literally just I take the time to write a card with somebody's name on it in every order. Just a little card says thank you with their name. And I just write what I'm listening to. And people love it. They just love it. Like I'm listening to a podcast or a song and I'll just write that in there. And then people write me back. I get emails from people and things like that make a huge difference with your business if you are doing something like art, where what you're doing is quite personal. If you can make them feel like they're part of that journey, which they are, then you're going to win. Like it makes a huge difference.